Tim, visiting from Austin. Sorry about my voice. I've been using it too much, maybe. Plus, maybe allergies. I'm not sure. It's an octave lower than it usually is. I think they're amplifying here, so if it kind of fades, then you can still hear. Can you hear me okay?
Amen.
Yeah, your fellowship on faith reminded me of the last AAC periodical that came out, Affirmation and Critique. Y'all, are y'all familiar with that publication?
Amen.
And it was on faith, which I thought was a great topic to start. They reset how they're publishing that. And it, like this brother was sharing, they keyed off on this verse. It's the substantiation of things hoped for. Is that right? Substantiation of things hoped for. Conviction of things not seen. And I really liked in the opening article, they put it this way, that... But there's a lot of misunderstandings about that word. But based on that verse, they got into it. And there's a realm that's unseen, or a thing hoped for, the conviction of things unseen. So it does involve trust, but it's a lot deeper than that. And they put it this way, that so there's this realm of reality, which is unseen, spiritual realm. It's where God, who is the real life, but we can't pick him up with our five physical senses. Right? Faith is like a sixth sense. And they put it this way, that if faith perceives this unseen realm, this invisible realm, this realm of reality, it perceives that exists. Right. A person without faith, and we meet these people on the campus quite often, they don't believe in God. They don't believe God's real. There's no perception of this unseen realm. But faith perceives that this realm exists. It opens, it allows us to perceive this realm. And furthermore, it brings that realm into us. It transmits that realm into us. Faith not only perceives it, but it receives it. It brings it into us. And even further, they made this point, that it causes this realm to operate in us. It makes it active. So it perceives that realm exists, which is God. It receives, and then it causes that life to operate. They gave this example. For instance, Christ, who we can't see, exists, is real, perceives this person. By faith we receive this person, and by faith he operates in us. For instance, his resurrection life. He's real, we perceive him, we receive him, and then by faith his resurrection power is operating. That's why Jason, what happened to Jason? Jason talked about if you touch him after the video training, you might get Christ. If you touch him before, you might get Jason. We know Jason from the campus. Also, Eleanor, what happened to Eleanor? Oh, hi, okay, you didn't run away. So it's good to see these faces. I recognize a few faces. So I haven't been here in a long time. Actually, my wife is from Kansas City, so we used to come up for family, but then we would just take the kids to the lake, and I didn't really, it was just family vacation. That was the one vacation we took growing up. The kids just wanted to go with grandma and grandpa and go to the lake and boat and jet ski and swim. So our kids just know the lake. And when I did come, I think I did join a meeting. Maybe it was the 80s or 90s. I can't remember. But this facility wasn't here. There was a house. You know where that well is? Which way is it? Over there. So we met in a house. Was anybody here? Raise your hand if you remember that house. We're the old folks. Yeah, just three of us. You remember with Leslie? Yeah, Leslie. So
I was describing that house, the property, when we were driving over here. The brothers picked me up from the airport. I said, is that house? Will we be meeting in that house? And they said, what are you talking about? And then I got here, and this facility is, wow. I'm jealous. Our meeting place in Austin needs an upgrade. You want to come help us? It's a big job. Oh, it gave you a facility. So I'm going to steal your prophesying time. I hope that's okay. and we'd like to fellowship. Well, let me see who all's. If everybody here from Meet with the Church in Kansas City, I know Tate and Amanda, they meet with Lawrence. Anybody else here from Lawrence beside this couple? Just this couple. And anybody else here from any other of the churches besides Kansas City visiting? Lubbock. Yeah. And your names?
David.
So you're Paul's son, and you're the Danik girl. What are your parents? Which parents are you?
Robert and Becky.
Robert and Becky, yeah. I thought I recognized you. Yeah, well, great for visiting from Lubbock, yeah. Okay, we hope we'll see all of you in Texas in Memorial Day. It's in our neighborhood. I mean, we should try to get to a feast at least once a year. And when it hits close to home, that's the best opportunity. So we hope you'll take advantage if they still have those discounted rooms available and sign up. It'll be a great time together. So we want to be in the Word this morning regarding God's move and God's kingdom, and we're going to be in Acts. So I've got a handout here that the title, well, let me pass it out. Maybe that'll be a good start. Tate, could you help me in this section? And Dan in this section. That might be too many. And let's see, your brother, yeah. I don't have Spanish, I'm sorry. Well, I do have Spanish, but I didn't bring it. I think this is enough for you brothers. I'm back here. Any extra? Yeah. Now, we in the Lord's Recovery, I don't know if you need some there at the table, people walk in late. Okay, yeah, thank you. We in the Recovery really treasure the Word of God, so we're going to be in these verses. Yesterday was a great day. We got to visit, mainly we spent time on the road. We were headed toward Lawrence and met with Tate. And Bestwick, is that your last name? The Bestwicks. And then we went and saw Randy Wharton at his property he's developing for use for the students. And then we ended up at a picnic at what lake was that? Clinton Lake. Yeah. And got to meet another handful of brothers and sisters. That was a great day. Then I got home and I wanted to go for a little walk. So I, Dan and Susan are taking me in. So the grandkids got pushed aside into the five of them and the dog slept in their room. And I took the basement. But I went for this walk and I was gone quite a while. Yep, they might have been concerned about me. I was approached by two females who are Mormons, and I understand now that they were active, that group is active or started in this area. So I usually see the guys, I've talked to a number of the guys, but these two girls stopped me. And I had my Bible and asked me what I was reading. So I got to preach the gospel to them. I really enjoyed that. And I realized they don't know the word. And they even told me that. I started to speak about verses, and they didn't know what I was talking about. One has just read up through Luke. I don't think she's read anything else. And then they have this other book called the Book of Mormon, which they claim is the Word of God, even more relevant because it's more recent. And I'd encourage them to focus on the Bible and read the Bible. And in speaking with them, I realized they have no knowledge. You know, the Lord talks about the full knowledge of Him because they don't receive, they don't believe He's God, and that about Jesus Christ to some extent, but that He could be inside of them, live, a person could live inside of them. So I just kept speaking and focusing on this. And I just realized how blessed we are in the recovery to have a focus on the Word and a clear cutting straight and discernment of what is critical and what is what's the focus. And I felt afterward just so thankful that to know, I became a Christian, I was in fourth grade, but it wasn't until I met the brothers and sisters in college that I realized Christ was inside of me, and that changed a lot. So just a real thankfulness that we have the Word correctly translated and interpreted. It's a top blessing, and the Lord has done this for us, and He has. Some scientists lately have been speaking to us from some seminars at UT Austin and telling us the Earth is, the universe is 13.8 billion years old and expanding, and the Earth is about 4.54 billion. And that it took that long. I thought God just was delaying too long between 13.8 and 14.5, why 9 billion years of just, but it actually took that long for all the processes, physics, to produce this perfect environment for mankind. The Earth and its atmosphere is so unique, and it's so well designed to sustain human life. So I was just thankful to the Lord that there's such a place, and Kansas City is beautiful. I've just enjoyed being out. Of course, it's springtime, so it's maybe one of the best times to catch it. And just the Lord had given us this beautiful place. And then being a man, a human, just I part of the top creation that inhabits this place. And then to be in a time when the Word is in my language, you know, people paid a high price to get this into English and even to preserve it. and that it's properly interpreted. And it's, like y'all are sharing from the life studies, it's just abundant speaking. So we live in a very special time. And we should be so thankful that all the Lord's prepared for us to have the greatest advantage to know Him and to live Him out and to prepare a place for Him. I feel so privileged. Do you? So thankful. I just am reminded that, Lord, You've done so much, and You just need some to cooperate. So that's what we want to talk about today, is how can we cooperate? The Lord's trying to bring His kingdom, that realm we talked about earlier, that faith perceives, receives, and is some and operates. And so He just needs some co-operators. He needs some that realize what's going on. They're willing to coordinate and cooperate and let Him be the the way, the truth, and the life to carry out what's on His heart. So we're going to spend some time, as you see on the outline, in the book of Acts. related to the principle, the biblical principles of prayer, the Spirit, and the Word. You've heard this, hopefully, a number of times. So we're going to delve a little bit further into this. Hopefully, you'll be very convinced, or more convinced, that this is the way, if the Lord's going to move and recover the earth and bring in His kingdom to the earth, this is the way that we should take, because this is the way laid out in Acts. It's the playbook. You can come up with another playbook if you like, but I wouldn't advise it. This is the way the Lord worked out when He was here on the earth with a group of primarily young men, but also some women. I have a quote for you. It's about the Lord conducting a organic small group for 3.5 years with these 12 disciples. This is back in 92 or 89, I can't remember. I've got it in my book there. It's okay. They were living together, they were eating together, He was speaking, they traveled together, they slept, He just was with them. He wanted them to be with Him so He could perfect them, knowing that He would soon be out of sight and that they would carry on what He had established on the earth. That is His kingdom, for the spreading of His kingdom. So He was with them, and they were even subgrouped among the 12. And so as we get into this, even though group is not in the title, I want you to grab hold of that thought that the twos and threes, the grouping is the basic structure of how the Lord's going to move. We're not here as individual Christians. We don't only need the large gathering like this, but what about the rest of the week? Do you have a companion? Do you have a fellow? Of course, you may have a spouse that is your companion in that way, but sisters, do you have another sister? Brothers, do you have another brother that you are connected with, you're related with? It's very important to go on in the church to have that grouping, and especially if the Lord's going to move in Kansas, in Kansas City, in Lawrence, wherever, that there are the saints who have relatedness in the Lord. They're grouped up. So let's read the title. Prayer ascends, Spirit fills, Word spoken. Again, prayer ascends, Spirit fills, Word spoken. Now look up at me and let's say the title. Prayer ascends, Spirit fills, Word spoken. This is the three substances. Of course, the substance of the Bible is the triune God, Father, Son, Spirit. Just without the Father, Son, Spirit, there'd be no Bible. But when you get to the spread, the move, the propagation, you remember the title of Acts? It's the propagation of the resurrected Christ in His ascension by the Spirit through the disciples. Raise your hand if you're a disciple. That means He's spreading through you for the producing of the church is the kingdom of God. Let's say it again. The propagation of the resurrected Christ in His ascension by the Spirit through the disciples for the producing of the churches - the kingdom of God. That's what the subject of this book is about. And you'll see clearly in these passages that the way the Lord was producing the churches, spreading the kingdom of God, was through these ones who loved Him, who coordinated together and with Him, and He would move through them. So if we want the Lord to move in your place, in your time, then this is the way that it was laid out in Acts. So I hope we would pick up this. I hope you'll be convinced that this is the way He's going to propagate. If He's going to propagate in this area, and He's put you here, Who else is responsible for this? Surely the Mormons are propagating something, but that's not what we're talking about. They've gone astray there in their understanding of the word. But you have the clear word. So prayer sends, spirit fills, and word spoken. We're picking this up because ITERO 2025, the brothers had a message on this, which helped us a lot. And then we came back to it, ITERO 2026, spring. This was the first message. This title of this series was The Ministry of the Word. You know that from Acts 6:4. And God's dispensing for God's economy. Familiar terms. All of us should know what we're talking about. And those two are actually the same. Ministry of the Word is God's dispensing for God's economy. And the opening message, first Roman numeral, steadfastly in prayer, 6:4, Acts 6:4. And a man of prayer, let me see, the prayer, to pray means that we realize that we are nothing. And then we can do nothing. This implies that prayer is the real denial of the self, mentioned in Mark. A man of prayer must be one who seeks God and God's will. The real significance of prayer is to contact God in our spirit, to absorb himself, God himself. Now, like this, prayers in which we contact God, inhale God, absorb God, and are filled with God are genuine prayers. Only prayers of this kind should be offered to God. So prayers in which we contact God, inhale God, absorb God, and are filled with God are genuine prayers. So prayers in which we contact God, we inhale God, we absorb God, and we're filled with God, those are genuine prayers. And these are the prayers, I'll read it to you again. Prayers in which we contact God, inhale God, absorb God, and are filled with God are genuine prayers. Only prayers of this kind should be offered to God. So when we talk about prayers, we're talking about what's coming out from God. We don't want, the Lord's not looking for prayers to initiate with us. They need to be from God. So when we hit the word prayer in here, please hang on to this definition. It's contacting God, inhaling God, absorbing God, and then being filled with God. Let's say it. Contacting God, inhaling God, absorbing God, being filled with God. Those are genuine prayers. Where do they initiate from? God. So it's like the air we breathe. Okay. So I'm contacting the air. Now I'm going to inhale the air. Now my lungs are absorbing the air, and I'm being filled, right? My lungs are being filled, and then I exhale. Contact, inhale, absorb, and get filled. See the illustration? Let me empty my lungs. I'm going to contact air. Inhale air. Now it's absorbing air. It's absorbing air and being filled. And then I exhale. We'll see more. Okay, so let's look at Acts. I'm try to finish by 12. We'll see. Okay, Jesus with the apostles. So this is Acts, and he's prophesying what's going to happen. Luke is recording what all Jesus did and said, all he did and taught. And then verse 4, let's have sisters on 4, brothers 5, all together on 8, 4 sisters.
As he and together with them. He charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me."
For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now.
All together.
But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Okay, so he met together with them. He charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. And then in 5, he says, "For John baptized with water, you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now, and you'll receive power. You'll be baptized when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll receive power." You'll receive power. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. So there you have Holy Spirit. So you can put an S if you have a writing utensil. You can put an S above baptized in the Holy Spirit. Put an S there. And at verse 8, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and I want you to connect power with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So the pouring out of the Holy Spirit brings the power. There's power. The Lord's power is when the Spirit was poured out upon us. And it says, "You shall be my witnesses," in the same breath. So, Holy Spirit coming upon us, and you shall be my witnesses. What is the Holy Spirit coming upon them for? So that you will be my witnesses. So we're connecting here the Spirit coming upon with power to speak. You will be my witnesses, both in, Jerusalem, etc. So you connect. The Spirit's coming with the ones witnessing. Speaking. You got to make that connection. Okay, where in these series of verses do you see the prayer? Prayer precedes, if the pattern is prayer, Spirit, Word, where do you see the indication of prayer? The Word's not there, prayer. I don't see it. But it's implied. Where do you see it in these three verses? Anybody have an idea? What? Yeah, but I'm looking at these verses. If there's a pattern of prayer preceding Spirit, preceding Word, then where does the Lord imply that there will be prayer?
While they're waiting.
Say it again.
While they're waiting.
While they're waiting. He said, "Go there and wait." And they went there and waited. And like this brother here said, they waited there for 10 days. And what were they doing for those 10 days? We'll see in a minute. They were praying. Amen. Praying. So here in the prophesying of how God's going to carry out his move, after he's been incarnated, lived a human life, died, resurrected, and now ascended, and he is on the move, and he needs people, and he's got some people. He spent 3.5 years and he performed all these things, and now he's got a group of people who know who he is, and they have his life in them, but now there needs to be an additional step for them to go out and spread his kingdom through their speaking. So you wait there. And the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. Okay, you're going to pray and then speak. And so you get to the Jewish part of the body. And it says, all these continue steadfastly with one accord in prayer. So you can go back up to Roman number 1 and put a P above wait. There's prayer, there's spirit, and the word. Distinct pattern in that order. Don't reorder them. Now you get to the Jews, and in 1:14, they were prayer. They were in one accord in prayer. And I'll just point out that the verse before that identifies the 12 apostles, or 11, sorry, Judas dropped out. So the 11 apostles were there, and it also mentions together with the women. We don't have time today, maybe some other time we can talk to you about the women. They are so critical in the Gospels. They're not prominent, but they are consistent, and they're there, especially near the Lord's, end of the Lord's ministry. No time this morning. But they're there as a group. I can give you their names. You should know their names. Their names are recorded several times. They're there. So there's a group. The 11 apostles are there as a group. The women are there as a group. And it says also his brothers. His brothers came around. You know, earlier they didn't believe in him. But now the brothers came around. So you can see even among the 120, there are ones that are there related. So it's not just 120 unrelated people. There are groups of related people making up that 120. Grouping is critical. So they were praying there. And then it says in 4, let's all read 4. Go.
And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues, even as the Spirit gave to them to speak forth.
Okay, so you can put an S above the Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit. Prayer is there. The Spirit comes, fills. They begin to speak. You can put a W, maybe above the, back in Roman number 1, above witnesses, put a W for word. So now in Roman number 2, you have a P on prayer, an S above Holy Spirit, and a W before speak, the word. Even as the Spirit gave them, there it is again, to speak for. Mentions twice in that one verse. Filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak. Even as the Spirit gave them to speak. Spirit, speak. Spirit, speak. Speak. And then in verse 6, it says, let's all read 6 together. Yeah. Speaking. And then look at, let's read 17 and 18.
And it shall be in the last day,
says God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams and dreams.
So, yeah, and they shall. And they shall prophesy. So here, and trying to understand what was going on among the people observing this, they thought they were drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. He said, no, this is what Joel prophesied. The last days I will pour out. What gender line pour out? In the last days I will pour out. I will pour out. God poured out. In the last days, I will pour out through this prayer, through these ones attending the Lord, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the power given to them, I will pour out in my Spirit. You believe me? It happened. I'll pour out in my Spirit on all flesh, and they will. I'll pour out my Spirit and they will. That's the speaking. Do you get it? the pouring out as they would speak. The prayer was there. It happened with the Jewish section of the body, and they spoke. I'll pour out of my spirit. I'll pour out of my spirit. And what are you going to do, brother? And what? Okay. So again, contacting God. Let's all empty our lungs. Empty your lungs. Now, contact here. Breathe in, it fills up, and then exhale. So you contact, you inhale, you absorb, you're filled, and then you exhale. You speak. It comes in, and it goes out. God comes in. Let's do it again. Empty your lungs. Now breathe in. God, inhale, absorb, get filled, and then prophesy. Come on, Abigail, you doing it?
Yes.
Okay, all right. I got to spend time with their kids last night, this morning. They're sweet kids. Okay. I think you get it. So when the Lord's going to move, this is what he prophesied would happen, and then it happened. Word? Prayer, spirit, word. Let's say it. Prayer, spirit, word. Come on, sisters, let's say it. Prayer, spirit, word. Good. That's the order. Prayer, spirit, word. Okay, let's see. Now, we have a couple chapters. So where Peter and John are going up the ninth hour of prayer. That's 3 o'clock our time. I'm trying to do my best to take a break at 3 and have some time. It's not easy, brothers, right? We've got 5 o'clock deadlines, etc. This is what they practice. But so they got arrested and told not to speak. Don't speak anymore. Stop the speaking. That's Satan's strategy. Stop our speaking. And then they ended up with the church in Jerusalem in Acts 4. And now look upon, this is the church's praise and prayer. And they're praising the Lord and they're praying. Look upon their threatening. These are the ones telling them, shut your mouth. Look upon their threatening and grant your slaves. How about this? Grant your slave to speak your word with all boldness. Do y'all pray that in your prayer meeting? This was their prayer. They were praying to grant us to speak your word with all boldness. I like that kind of prayer. While stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Let's all read 31. Okay, what do you see in this verse? Where's prayer? They so besought, put a P. The place was shaken and they were what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they began to speak the word. Oh, what about that? Prayer, spirit, the word. Now we're in the church. Now this is a church. It's not just the 120. Now the Spirit's been poured out, and now the church is gathered, and they were praying, the Spirit filled them, and they spoke. See it? Are you convinced? Okay, let's keep going. So Roman numeral 5:4, with the apostles and Stephen. The apostles said, after having some wait the tables, because they needed to take care of something else, but we will continue steadfastly in prayer and the ministry of the word. They wanted to tend to God's move, so let some others take care of the practical matters. Those practical matters need to be taken care of. The kids need to be taken care of. The grass needs to be cut. The hall needs to be cleaned. The meals need to be cooked. Let's rise up and take care of that. But some need to take care of prayer. Continue steadfastly in two things. The first thing is what? Prayer. Number one, prayer. number one. Prayer, number one. And the ministry of the Word. So the disciples obviously were in the Word, so they were praying the Word, and then they were speaking. Through their speaking, the Word was being ministered. So you have the apostles praying, and then you have... So they're praying. We know that they're praying steadfastly. And then you have Stephen, one of the seven, who was full of the Holy Spirit. And then in 10, it says, they were not able to withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. Stephen. So this is while the apostles are praying, and Stephen is filled with the Spirit, and he is expounding the Old Testament in such a way, filled with the Word, so he's speaking the Word. We have to fill with the Word and speak the Word. So here you have prayer. It's going on with the apostles. Stephen is filled, and he is speaking. So you see the same pattern. And then Roman numeral 5 is when Philip, another one of the seven deacons, peels off and goes down to Samaria, and he preaches the gospel, and they believe. And then the two, this is Peter and John again, they are the ones who went down and prayed. So there you have a P for prayer. They prayed for them, these ones that had received the speaking of Philip and believed in the Lord. They prayed for them so they might receive the Holy Spirit. They need to be connected with the body, with the leading ones who were the apostles there. So Peter and John went down to connect these Samaritans. They were not pure Jews. So now he's venturing out into mixed blood. So it needed the brothers, Peter and John, to go and bring the Spirit there. So they prayed. They received the Spirit. They laid their hands on them, said, receive the Holy Spirit. That's, you can put a S above those two in 15 and 17. And they, therefore, having solemnly testified and spoken the word. There's the word. So this is actually Peter and John speaking the word. But you see prayer going on. You see the Spirit responding and the word being spoken. So prayer is, again, contacting God. When you're contacting God, you're inhaling God. That's filling. When we're praying, we're getting filled with God. It's like your lungs absorbing the air. And then the speaking comes out. Okay, let's flip the page. And now we're going to go to chapter 9. So what pattern have we seen so far? With the Lord prophesied, with the Jewish believers coming in, with the church in Jerusalem, with the apostles and Stephen, with Peter and John, to the Samaritans. Now we go to Paul. And it says here in verse 11, and by the way, up to this point, it's been groups of people praying. In every one of these cases, it's not individuals praying alone, although they surely had their prayer, but these are grouped up people, larger groups. And even with the 120 we saw, they were subgrouped into related people. And then you have other groups. Here's a case where Paul is praying, and the Lord said to him, rise up and go. Let's see. 11, yeah. To Lane called straight and seeking the house. He's talking to Ananias. For behold, he, that is Paul, Saul, is praying. You can put a P there. And you know the story. It's not here in these verses, but Ananias said no. He was talking to the Lord. I know who this person is. I'm not going that direction. So it doesn't say he was praying, but I surely believe he was in communication with the Lord. He was scared, and so he was talking to the Lord. The Lord said, no, this man is okay. So eventually he got through. So you see Paul praying, and I'm assuming Ananias was in prayer. So you have two people praying, although they're not together. They're still prayer ascending by more than one. That's important, more than one. And so Ananias went in, And laying his hands on him, he said, Saul, brother, the Lord sent me, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road on which you were coming, so that you may receive your sight and be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. You can underline that and put an S there. And immediately he proclaimed Jesus. That's speaking. Immediately. So again, you see Paul, the one that the Lord used so much. How did he get brought in? There was prayer, filled with the Spirit, and he immediately was speaking. Prayer sends, Spirit fills, word spoken. Same playbook. Didn't change the three factors, substances. It didn't change the order. The three substances are critical, and the order is critical. Now let's go to Cornelius. Anybody here with Jewish blood? Nope. Okay, so this is our entry point. Do you think we're going to take another way? I don't think that'd be too smart. And what do we see? Cornelius is a devout and one who feared God with all his household. There you see again the unit of the household. That's a whole nother topic for some other day about for brother's outing. Cornelius giving many alms to the people and beseeching, underline beseeching God continually. He was not a Christian. He probably heard about the Jews' God. It turned out Philip ended up in Caesarea. So probably word got around and Cornelius lived there. He probably had some idea there's something about Jehovah, the Jewish God, and he besought that God. Yet he was not, he needed the gospel shared with him and the Spirit to come. So then you had this other verse. Let's all read 9.
And the next day, they were journeying and drawing near to the city. He went on and on the house of pray around 6 hours.
So here you have another person praying. So Cornelius may have been praying with his family. We don't know that or not, but at least he was beseeching God continually. So we know he was in prayer. And we also know Peter was also praying, realizing God wants the Gentiles to be received. So you have another two people praying and the Lord responding. And I like these verses. I'm going to read them to you. They didn't make it on your outline, but it says in verse 3, he saw clearly in a vision around the 9th hour. Remember, we told you Peter and John went up to the 9th hour prayer. Here's again, a 9th hour. It must have been a custom back there, a practice of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying to him, Cornelius. And he looked intently at him and became terrified and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, and I want you to catch this, your prayers, and your alms have ascended as memorial before God. Brothers and sisters, your prayers and your alms, that's your offerings, have ascended. Remember, prayers ascend. They've ascended as memorial. They're memorialized before God. Don't think that your prayers don't reach God. They ascend as memorial before God. And then when he was recounting the story to when Peter and the other 6 showed up, and he's recounting to them, Cornelius said, this is verse 30, 4 days ago to this hour, I was praying at the 9th hour in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in a bright clothing. And by the way, when you're in this prayer, the Lord may come to you and show you something. That's what here. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. Not only do your prayers ascend as a memorial before God, God hears, the Bible says, God hears your prayer. Your prayer has been heard. Has been. Your prayer has been heard. Your alms and your alms have been remembered before God. So those prayers ascend as memorial before God, and He hears them, and He acts on them. Because right after that, Peter starts speaking, and you see these other verses, that the next day, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Spirit, you can underline Spirit, fell, S, Spirit, upon all those hearing the word. And then in verse 45, it says the believers who were of the circumcision, as many as accompanied Peter, were amazed, because on the Gentiles, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit had been, they were amazed. What happened to us back in Acts 2? Now on the Gentiles, here are the Gentiles, and the Holy Spirit has been poured out. Same treatment, no different. And then what does it say? Read. Go. They heard them speaking. The pure spirit got poured out, and they heard them speaking. Prayers ascended, spirit fills, and then words spoken. Same thing with the Jews, same thing with the Gentiles. Tate, do you think that might be the way that the Lord is going to move in your day, in your time, in your place? Amen. Is it possible? Or should we come up with something different? I think when the brother was sharing on this, in one of the books, he also added in the homes. He added the grouping, but he stuck with the prayer, spirit, and the word. Okay, I need to wrap this up. Let's see, where can I cut? Let's go on to I think number 8, there's prayer there. You can underline prayer. They ministered to the Lord. That's including prayer. They fasted. The Spirit was there. Spirit said. Then they prayed some more and fasted, and the Spirit sent them out. And then those in verse 7, they proclaimed. The proconsul sought to hear the word of God. So prayer, Spirit. When the Lord's moving, Antioch. He wants to spread the kingdom and this prayer, spirit, and the word. Let's go on to number 9, and we'll have to finish here. This is Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and Luke, and Philippi with Lydia and the women. And let's have the sisters on 6, brothers on 7. Go, sisters.
Having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia.
They tried to go to Lithuania.
Okay, so these are interesting verses. This is chapter 16, and it says that they passed through the region of Phrygia. They were going back to confirming the churches. And the next geographical area would be Asia, if you know the map, the region, that would be the place to go next. But it says that the Holy Spirit forbid them to speak the word. Wait a minute. That's what is happening. That's how the kingdom spreads. Why would the Holy Spirit not allow them to go to Asia and speak the word? That would be to go south. And then it says that they came to Mysia, so they just kept going straight, and they tried to go into Bithynia. That's up to the north. Yet the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So they're going, these brothers are sent out to raise up churches, to speak the word. They're trying to go to Asia. And eventually they get to Asia, not now. Asia was a huge place for the gospel, but not now. Not going to, well, I forbid you. The Holy Spirit says, no, you will not go to Asia to speak the word. Okay, we'll go up to the north. No, Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, did not allow to go by the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of Jesus into Bithynia. What is going on? What in the world is going on? That's what they're sent out for. That's what they're raised up for. They got sent out in Antioch. We skipped a little bit of that. That's the Lord's Spirit spoke to them, said, set apart for me now, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I call them. Go, speak. But can't go south, can't go north. Any ideas? What? They went out what?
To the gate.
To the gate. What do you mean, the gate? Why couldn't they go into Asia? Why couldn't they go into Bithynia? Well, it says that right after those two verses, and a vision appeared to Paul during the night, a certain man of Macedonia standing and entreating him and saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Come over to Macedonia and help us. So he... And when he had seen the vision, we immediately endeavored to go forth into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to announce the gospel to them. But that's not the next region. That doesn't make sense. Why to them? Why did God want us to go preach the gospel to them? What was the draw? Louder.
Some were praying.
Some were praying. And who were these some? Some women. Some women. It says here that and on the Sabbath day, they went outside. This is in Philippi, the gate by the river where they supposed there would be a place of prayer. They went outside the gate, like you said. They went outside the gate. They went by the river where they're supposed to be a place of prayer. And what did they find? They found the women. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. Here are the women. Look at this. Here are the women right here. Look at this. Here are the women. And you're in Philippi. And you've gone outside the gate by the river for a place that you pray. And what are you doing there? Praying. There's a suction. There's a draw. The Holy Spirit said, don't go into Asia. Don't go into Bithynia. Go. There's a prayer ascending over here. Go there. That's where I want you to go and to speak. So it says a certain woman, Lydia. Anybody here named Lydia? Lydia? Okay, you're Lydia. Lydia, a seller of purple dyed goods from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God, was listening. Are you listening, Lydia? Paul sat down and was speaking. He was with the others, whose heart the Lord opened. As he was speaking, because there was prayer and there was the Spirit, these brothers obviously are filled. They were led by the Spirit to this place because the Spirit wouldn't let them go there. The Spirit wouldn't let them there, so the Spirit sent them there. The Spirit is there, and he was speaking. And while he was speaking, the Lord opened her heart to give heed. So, brothers and sisters, while we're speaking, because there's prayer, because there's a Spirit, while we're speaking, the Lord is opening their heart.
Amen.
You're speaking, and that's operating, and so that allows the Lord to open. When you're speaking, you're infusing the Spirit. You're infusing Christ, so he's now operating to open that heart so he can get in. Thank you, women. The church in Philippi began with these women. That is Europe. That's the last theater where Christ and Antichrist will meet up. And hopefully it's pretty soon. And that's how it began. And that will be the sister's outing, Lydia. Brother's outing will be Cornelius. Sister's outing will be Lydia. Prime examples of if you want God to come to your house and be useful to God, these are the patterns. So that's all the time we have. What does prayer do? Ascends. Then Spirit fills, and then words are spoken. What about that? Do you think that might be the way the Lord would go on in Kansas City? Do you want the Lord to go on in Kansas City? Are you satisfied? Is the Lord back? What's he waiting on? Us. He's done everything. What else do you want him to do? Just open, just get filled, just inhale, absorb, and this is what happens. You pray, you group your little groups of prayer. You just pray, you care for one another, you pray, and the Lord fills, and you can't help. But when you inhale, you have to exhale. It has to come out. Okay, I went over a few minutes. I left no time for you, so sorry about that. Prayer. That's a good idea. Let's have a little prayer.